Welcome to the Senior Dog Revolution, where we discuss how to give our senior dogs the best life they deserve, where age is just a number and health and happiness of our senior pets is a priority. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Senior Dog Revolution podcast. I'm Dr. Monica Tarantino, and I'm so glad you guys are here. So this week, we've got a great episode planned where I actually have a licensed veterinary technician, Megan McCorkle, on, and the two of us are going to actually discuss pet health insurance from your perspective. And so we actually surveyed the Senior Dog Revolution Facebook group, and we also surveyed the Instagram community that we're a part of, and we asked you guys questions about pet health insurance and what your experience has really been like with it. And you guys really opened up to us. We got probably several hundred people responding, which we'll discuss in a few minutes, and we can't wait to share the results with you. Now, keep in mind, this is not some official study. This is really just a survey. And you guys were really open with things that you loved, things that you didn't like. And we'll go through all the data that we got from you guys and just share it with you guys here. So take it all with a grain of salt because it's just a survey. But let's get started. I am so excited because tonight I have one of my favorite registered veterinary technicians, Megan McCorkle, on the podcast. And Megan, welcome. We're so glad you're here.
Thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to it for some time now.
Yeah. And I don't know if most of you guys know, a lot of you guys actually listen to the podcast or in our Facebook group, but Megan is kind of like my right-handed lady with Senior Dog Revolution. She has done so much for the senior dog cause and has just been tremendous help for us with the website and with our Facebook group and with everything, honestly. So I'm excited to introduce her to you guys here on the podcast. Megan, do you mind telling us just a little bit about yourself and about your history?
Sure. So, as Dr. Tarantino was saying, I have been a licensed technician for several years now. And prior to that, I worked my way up from the ground up, basically. Started in a kennel, did boarding practices and daycare practices, and just started showing a lot of interest and just kept moving up. And so once I got my license, there are a lot of areas of veterinary medicine you can focus on. And I've had to step back from practice just because of, I have two young kids at the moment. So they take up a lot of my time. And so not getting enough clinical practice, but I wanted to do something still with my experience and my passion. And the Senior Dog Revolution has really helped me with that. So I appreciate you allowing me to do that for you.
Of course. And don't like overshadow like your clinical experience. You've been literally in the industry for almost 20 years now, right?
Yeah. Yes,
okay. Megan has been in a clinic helping pets do this for almost 20 years. And so much so, like one of my favorite parts about your story that you've told me before is that when you first started out in veterinary medicine, you actually lived above an animal hospital in a little apartment.
I did. So I was in Columbus, Ohio at the time, and I was young and single, and I got the opportunity to work for a clinic there in Columbus, and they needed somebody to live there and to do their overnight care. And, you know, that I learned so much doing that. Like, took care of parvo dogs. I took care of surgery dogs. I took care of the boarding dogs. I was at the doctor's beck and call, but it was a lot of fun and I learned a lot. So
there's nothing like immersion in veterinary medicine than living right above a clinic because you are always working basically.
Yes.
Like there's no time to yourself. So and I actually met Megan. So I have been at a wonderful little hospital in Fort Mill, South Carolina for almost 4 years now. I can't believe it's been that long, Megan. Is that crazy?
I know.
We've been here in Charlotte for 7 years, but Fort Mill for this clinic for 4 years. And I love it there. And Megan was actually a technician there. And that's how we met. We worked together there for several years and she's just amazing. Like Megan's one of our client's favorites. She's amazing at client communication and really just talking to people about the various issues that kind of come up with pets and just, did an amazing job there. So I'm super excited that you're here with us. So.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. And so tonight we're really excited to actually talk to you guys tonight. So last time we've taken a little bit of a break since the last episode's come out. And that's largely in part because we actually have our Senior Dog Thrive course coming up that we'll be launching next month that we're so excited about. Guys, we put so much time and effort into this and this course is amazing. It's truly going to revolutionize the way that we actually do senior dog care. And we're really excited about it. So we've taken a little bit of a break just to work on that, but we're back. And last episode, we actually had Dr. Gamboni, who you know very well, on, and she was talking about Mr. Cole, who was her senior dog, and how pet insurance really helped save her. At the end of that, it helped save her almost $40,000 for Mr. Cole. I don't know if you heard that part, but like so
I
much
did.
Money.
Yes.
Yeah. And that, I don't think that's like typical. I mean, I think that it can be, but I mean, certainly they had so many things go on with Mr. Cole during his last few years, and really to help him live a comfortable and happy life, that pet insurance came in handy. And that's what we want to talk to you guys about today. So today we're going to be talking about really two things with you. We're going to just talk a little bit about the pros and cons of pet health insurance, because Dr. Gamboni and I didn't really get a chance to do that on the last episode. And then we're also going to discuss with you guys these Instagram survey results that we had on pet health insurance, and just the things that you guys had to say about pet health insurance and the certain companies that are out there, because there are so many out there and there are so many different types of plans. And we just want to share with you guys what you guys were saying on the podcast here. And we'll do it again. Of course, we're going to do another survey this year. We'll come out with another podcast episode and just keep updating you guys as we move forward. But we wanted to share with you guys here what you guys are actually saying about it. So let's get started with some of the pros and cons of pet health insurance. Do you want to start, Megan?
Sure. And even a few years ago, if a client asked me if pet insurance was worth it, it was hard for me to promote it. It has changed over the years. So I am happy to promote it these days. Yeah. And I do think it can benefit some clients. And I do feel like a lot of pets could benefit from it. So the biggest pro that I think clients find is a connection to their financial ability to care for their pet. I feel like if the client felt like they had the backing and that they were going to be able to afford it, they would put forth money for treatment options.
Right.
So one way that I choose to communicate this to the client is to ask them, okay, how much do you have in a budget for a sick visit?
Right.
And make sure that their plan would reimburse them accordingly. Yeah. Because some people don't realize that it's a reimbursement program and that you actually do have to pay out of pocket. So you still have to have the money available, but at least you know that you're going to get the reimbursement.
Right. Right. I think that's a really good point. And reimbursement, depending on the company that you actually have, can be anywhere from like express, where they're starting to pay it within like 24 hours, I think, mm-hmm. to 30 days later. I think that's the most common kind of timeframe that we see now. And Megan, you were telling me earlier that there are some companies that are starting to try to pay upfront for like 90% of the visit.
Correct.
But mm-hmm. traditionally, that's not how it works. So I'd say most companies don't do that, but there are some that are starting to pay mm-hmm. upfront for people.
Yeah. So we had one of our local insurance reps come out and there's a program they're trying to partner with clinics. And so it allows the clinic to contact the insurance company and say, okay, here's our bill. How much will you cover? And they'll say, okay, we're going to cover their plan covers 90%. So then the client only has to pay that 10%,
right?
When they pay their bill that day. So that is very helpful for some people.
Yeah. And I love that. And I think that's really important for senior dog care, is figuring out, you know, how much finances you have to dedicate to that pet. Because the truth is that this demographic of dogs, senior dogs, as we talk about all the time, they are the demographic of dog where they're more prone to different ailments. They're more prone to different diseases. Like things pop up here. This is when the costs really start happening. And mm-hmm. so I always encourage people to get insurance like way before they become senior, if you can, right? So if you know about it, then get it way before you have insurance. And one thing, Megan, that I just want to go back to that you just mentioned too, it's so funny because Dr. Gamboni mentioned the same thing, but she said that both of you guys mentioned that like years ago, so like even like 5 or 10 years ago, pet health insurance was something that you guys weren't really recommending. And it's funny that now that's really changed for a lot of people. Like I don't know if they've started just covering more now or if their standards have changed or what's happening, but there's definitely a more positive association with pet insurance today than there was 10 years ago. What do you feel like that is?
So back to the pros and cons that I think a lot of clients have, too, as a veterinary professional, it was really difficult to file paperwork and it was really frustrating and it took a long time. So I think that was a con and that has improved on both our veterinary professional side and on the client side. Yeah. So a lot of times people just don't want the hassle, but I think it has improved a lot between the mobile apps, between faxing, right, emailing. They can just take a picture of their receipt, all those kinds of things.
Right.
So I do think the ease of access has improved. And I do think they're covering more too. It used to be that they were really picky and choosy, I guess, what they were going to cover. I always remember arguing with the doctors, arguing with pet insurance companies on why they would cover this, but not that. And nowadays I don't, as long as it's not a pre-existing condition, I feel like they cover a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a really good point. And that brings us to one of the cons, which is the frustrating thing. And this, I think this is the fear that a lot of doctors have and a lot of pet parents have, is if a pet insurance company won't cover something that we feel like they should cover, right? And in human medicine, there's a little bit of, you know, some doctors feel like there was a point, or there is a point, where insurance kind of almost dictates what they can and can't do for a patient. So they almost determines medicine, and we really don't want that. And I think there is a fear of that. I will say this, hearing you talk about not hearing doctors have to argue. This year I had to argue with an insurance company on the phone. Myself and another colleague of mine had to argue with them on the phone over covering something that was, in our eyes, of course, 100% warranted, these tests that we had to run on this pet. That, however, was the only time I've had to argue this year. And that, so I mean, I think that's far and few between, because we have quite a few people at our practice that are covered with health insurance, certainly my patients that are covered. And I think that was the only time that I actually had to get on the phone and argue with someone. So I think that just highlights a con, right? The con that we're talking about. And I don't think it's going to be a perfect system. And I think that if we have that expectation, we're going to be let down. But I do think that majority of time, at least from my perspective, and Megan, I think from your perspective too, because you're still at a clinic right now, even though you're there part-time, but from our experience, that majority of time, that is not the situation. However, it certainly could be. And that gets frustrating for everyone involved. You know, I was really upset at the insurance company for not covering these tests that I knew this dog needed, and felt like the person there wasn't understanding that. But I would say that's definitely the not the norm. So, but that can be a con for pet health insurance.
On that point, one of the reasons I think that has improved, a lot of these companies are actually employing veterinary health professionals. Like as a licensed technician, they want someone like that who understands the charting, understands the vocabulary used, so that it's easier for the clients and the clinics to make the claims and submit all the information and get the underwriters.
Yeah.
Is basically who they are. And so I think that has helped, having veterinary professionals within the companies who understand that. I think that has made a big difference too.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I really love that some of the companies, insurance companies, do that too. And I agree. I think that makes a huge difference for coverage and for ease of getting things approved. So let's talk about another pro that we have with getting pet health insurance.
I think another pro is just being, I think, almost proactive. They feel like, I guess they just feel more secure when they have pet insurance, as opposed to somebody who, you know, only has a very limited income, and they come to the clinic when their pet is sick and they can't get the help that they need. So I do think that they feel it's a safety net.
Yeah.
And they get more information. They're more willing to do the additional diagnostics that are recommended and things like that. So I think they're being, it helps, the patient gets better care that way, I guess.
I agree. And I think there's just a relief for those pet parents, just knowing that they have that pet health insurance, that they can say yes to that test if they want to do it. You know, if it's in the best interest of that dog, they can say yes. It's not the finances holding them back, because most likely it will be approved by the pet health insurance. And that brings us to a con that we had listed out, which was the pre-existing conditions clause, which we all know that what these are. So if a pet has a previous illness and then you try to go get insurance and see if that gets covered for them in the future, it's not going to be covered for them in the future, right? Because we already know. And a good example of that would be like allergies, right? So if you have a dog that has a history of having skin allergies and they have it year round, and then you get them pet health insurance, they're not going to really cover allergy related claims moving forward. But Megan, you had mentioned previously kind of a caveat to that, or like a different perspective on that.
So we are talking senior dogs, and by the time you know, even if you have pet insurance early on, at some point, your dog is going to have more than one chronic potentially condition. So if it starts out as an allergy dog early on, well, you still want to get insurance because perhaps they could develop arthritis, perhaps they could develop Cushing's, they could develop diabetes, and all of those things would be covered because they weren't pre-existing. They crept up on them as they aged. So think of it as, okay, I know that they have allergies and I'm not going to get coverage for allergies, but that's probably not going to be their only ailment. So it could still be beneficial.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. I think it will still be beneficial for most of them, to be honest, because you're right. Most senior dogs end up having multiple conditions or multiple ailments that come up, and it's just best to have that safety net for them and to plan on that. So the other thing that I think, because both of us actually have health insurance on our dogs, on at least most of our dogs, but me, I have four dogs and three of them are covered two of them are covered and two of them are not. I've found so far that it's been fairly affordable for us. So just to give you guys an idea, for my pet health insurance company, it's roughly about $50 a dog. I have an accident only plan. So like when emergencies come up or if they have an illness, that's when our insurance plan actually kicks in. We have a pretty high deductible. And I think a lot of it really depends on the deductible as well. But for our plan, that is what makes the most sense for us. So our plan is pretty affordable for us and allows us to really get things covered when things come up for these guys in emergencies.
Yeah, and I think that that's pretty typical. And the nice thing, another con, I think that they have made it easier for people to they're customizable, essentially. Like most plans, you can pick and choose the deductible and say, okay, I have, again, this amount budgeted so that if something does happen, at least I know I could pay this amount and then I'd have coverage for the rest. But it's pretty much customizable. Like you can say, okay, I can afford this much in my premium and I can afford this much in my deductible. And some of them even have the ability to change them during the course of your plan too.
Yeah.
You can go up or down depending on what you need.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. And it really all does depend on what kind of plan that you pick. And let's talk about our next pro and con. So I think the last one that we had kind of listed out was that in the long run, it can save you money. You know, I really do truly believe that in the long run, it will save you money. The way that I use it, and I talk to pet parents about using it, is I will pay for my wellness visits out of pocket. So I'll pay for the annual blood work, the vaccines, that stuff out of pocket. And then, like I said, we'll use the insurance for the sick visits or the emergencies that come up that you can't really predict. And that's usually how we do it. But I do think it saves people money in the long run. And then the con that we had kind of associated with that as well was that for older dogs, they actually may not be covered at a certain age. And Megan, you had a recent conversation with an insurance representative about this.
So yes, our insurance rep came out to the clinic and we were just able to get up-to-date information, any changes the company had made. And I asked her specifically about senior dogs. And I said, okay, so if we've got some senior dog pet parents that are interested in pet insurance, do you recommend it? And of course she says yes, but what her recommendation was to make sure they're getting it as soon as possible, that they actually do cap it at 14. So they will not insure anything older than 14.
Okay.
And that is for, you know, for their, they just, at that point, there's a lot of conditions and a lot of pets don't live longer than 14. So it doesn't make sense for the pet insurance company, but they will insure pets up to 14. And she also said they will not drop the pet or change the premium, like increase the premium for the lifetime of that pet. So I thought that was a little reassuring.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And that's just one insurance company, guys. So there's like tons of insurance companies out there. That was just the one that Megan was talking to about, that company. So I will say though, that when I 2.5 years ago, when I decided to get my pets insured, it was difficult to get Becca insured. So I was unable to get Becca insured. We pay for Becca out of pocket at this point because she was 14 and a little over 14 years of age at that time. And finding insurance for her was just really difficult. So instead we just have savings that we use for Becca. And I also do the same thing with Orwell, who's 13 and a half years old. He was just too hard when we got him to actually get him insured as well. So he's out of pocket as well. So we do all his cardiology stuff, all his stuff out of our savings as well. But yeah, it can be harder if they're like a geriatric to actually get them insured. I know there are people that will cover them, but it can certainly be hard when they're a geriatric to get them covered. Okay, so that sums up pretty much our pros and our cons that we had discussed that we wanted to talk to you guys about. So now Megan and I want to share with you guys the results of a survey that we did both on Instagram as well as in our Facebook group. And we surveyed several hundred people. Okay, so several hundred people, pet parents actually responded to this survey. But I want to give you guys the caveat that this is by no means like an official unbiased survey. This is literally the pet parents that follow us, your information that we want to share with you, because we just want you guys to have the information. A lot of you guys ask, what insurance company should I use? Which one do people like? And so we just asked you guys the questions, and this is what you guys told us.
So we compiled the data, and we had actually only 27% of the population that we polled said that they had pet insurance. So we know that's not a very large number, but overall, you know, that's pretty good for the group that we're, you know, catering to. So I do think that is still a good number.
Yeah. And because when we looked at data to see how many people across America, how many pet parents across America actually have their dogs insured, It was less than 1% in the one poll, in the one article that we saw. I think I've heard somewhere between like 1 to 10%. I'm not sure where that number actually truly falls today in 2021, but still, just know the number is really low. So that was above average for most pet parents compared to the numbers across the United States.
And I found it very interesting that most of them, 77% in fact, actually recommended it to other senior dog pet parents.
And that's 77% from the 27%. So like of the people that had it, 77% of them were the ones that recommended it, correct?
Yes, that's what we came up with. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty good to get a good recommendation and feedback from other like senior dog pet parents. So
yeah.
You know, they basically had the same pros and cons that we kind of discussed. The biggest con was going to be the pre-existing conditions, of course, because a lot of these senior dogs already had several conditions. So some people just didn't feel it was worth it. But remember that that may not be their only ailment. So it still could be worth it for your pet. And the other con that they had was filing paperwork. But again, that has improved a lot.
Yep.
So we did have several pros. One of the biggest pros being that most of these companies have great customer service. They were easy to get a hold of on the phone, easy to ask questions to, get the information that the clients needed or wanted. So people, I think if you have good customer service, you're going to get good compliance and good results from the clients, basically. We had one of our members, her name is Jody. She actually has had one of the companies named Pets Best. They she's been with them for 10 years, and she has an annual max deductible of $5,000, and she received 70 to 80% coverage. She said that filling things out was pretty easy for this company and that she uses them for her sick visits, just like Dr. Tarantino had recommended. Yes. So in the results I had, there is a $5,000 reimbursement max annual and a $100 deductible.
Okay. So she has
70 to 80% coverage.
Okay. Yeah. So that's pretty low deductible. I was going to say $5,000 to me as a max coverage doesn't seem like a lot, especially with some of the things that can come up with senior dogs, like for surgeries, or if you end up having a dog with cancer and you want to get oncology treatment or chemotherapy, you're going to go through that $5,000 really quickly. So, but I'm glad that plan worked well for her.
And we had a couple of people that we had actually one of our, another technician friend of ours highly recommended Embrace. So she said that they had great customer service. And even when Adrian is her name, when she reached out to them and checked on things, she also mentioned that they did not reduce coverage in senior dogs and that they also cover pets for their lifetime. So
that's great.
She felt like that was, as far as if we're looking for senior dog options, that perhaps some of those types of companies that do that, make sure you're asking them in your inquiries about that.
Yeah.
So, I think overall that we had positive results. We had, again, most of the people saying that they would recommend it for other senior pet parents. And the biggest con would be the pre-existing conditions, but there's really no way around that. So,
right.
And then finally, I had just a few other suggestions when you are looking for a plan. I don't want to focus on pre-existing conditions, but it is a big part of it. So making sure that you know your pre-existing conditions for your pet, Making sure that if some of the companies will actually do a record search for you, if you present them with a record, they'll actually go through your record and say, okay, A, B, and C are pre-existing. If you're not aware of what's pre-existing in your pet yet. So you might be able to do it that way. But go into your search for a plan, knowing your pre-existing conditions. And then asking about the age limits and things like that. I think that's important. And then personally, again, if you could have some sort of budget, what would your budget be, your max amount that you could pay so that you can make a plan accordingly? So I think those are all just helpful questions that you can think about and when you're looking for a plan for your senior pet.
Those are great. Fantastic.
So the biggest question that we get asked is, just tell me who to pick, what company to pick. And unfortunately, I wish that it was that easy. I wish there was one plan that fit all, but there's not. So from the results that we got of our poll, we had a few in no particular order. We had several say that Healthy Paws, they really liked them with good customer service. Embrace, because they cover exam fees and have good customer service. Pets Best and Trupanion had several votes, a lot for good customer service and things like that. Pet Plan had amazing customer service. And then we had a few for Nationwide as well for good customer service.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that's going to be really helpful for people just to know, just even hearing all of the names that you gave, Megan, and all of the different ones that people are using, there's so many different ones out there. So I do think also another tip would be kind of just to shop around and ask those questions. Ask, especially with a senior dog, like Megan was saying, ask what's going to be a pre-existing condition for your dog. Have them do that medical review before you sign up with them. I would also make sure that they ask them if they stop coverage at a certain age. I hate to think of insurance companies doing that, but Megan, when we were talking to people in the Facebook group, it sounded like one or two of them said that they had a company that did that. When we went and looked further into that, the companies actually stated that they cover them to the end of their life, but I would still be asking that question regardless. And then the other thing was that you want to shop around for prices too, of course, and also figure out what's the maximum amount allowed for a year. That seems like a really important question to me, like I said before, because with senior dogs, sometimes you have multiple things come up during a year. And so, $3,000 might not be enough. You might need to make sure that they cover $20,000 a year or something like that, depending on where you guys live and how much you guys would be willing to do for your pets or what your pet really needs. So,
and one of the quotes that I really like from one of our representatives that I heard before is that the company covers anything from a broken toenail to acupuncture and cancer treatments. So there's a lot in between those scenarios.
Yeah.
So.
And that's a really good question. I think some will be more likely to cover things like acupuncture over others. So if you're really into that alternative medicine, you might want to ask what they cover as far as that goes too. I know for Becca, we do a lot of physical therapy with her now. And if you better believe that if we were able to get her insured 2 years ago, that we would be asking them, do they cover physical therapy? Because that's something that we'd be really interested in getting some help with paying for. Yeah. So thank you so much. That was so helpful. I think that our audience will really love this and I can't wait to share. I hope you guys find this helpful too. If you guys do find this helpful and you love our podcast, if you wouldn't mind leaving us a review, we would be so appreciative and just letting us know what you love about it. And Megan, I just want to tell you, thank you again so much for coming on and being here with us. We appreciate you.
Well, thanks again for having me. It's been to be able to help promote senior dog care and I've learned a lot and I can implement it in my practice now. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Of course. All right, guys, we'll talk to you guys next time. All content on Senior Dog Revolution is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for any type of professional veterinary advice for your pet. Your dependence on the content of any information found on Senior Dog Revolution is at your own risk, as nothing discussed or mentioned here can replicate a true doctor-patient relationship between yourself and a veterinarian. As always, for veterinary care and advice for your pet, please see your veterinarian.